Okay, first of all, I am not going to be here Thursday, but this is an open lab. This class tends to drift in. There is going to be an open lab in here on Thursday where Eric will be here and can answer questions. My suggestion is if you're behind, you come and get caught up. He's going to be here from 9:30 to 3, and you're welcome to be here as many hours as you want to be. And it's always good when you're doing homework to have somebody that can answer questions available, and that's him, so he can avail answer your questions. So it makes sense to me to come and spend as many hours as you can. And, you know, you can set up a work group and work a couple of people together and all that good stuff. Now, the other thing is that, eventually this is going to come on, there is a status thing out there that says status sheet. That is totally optional. Okay, there it is. It's totally optional. But several people have asked me about where they stood and what their grades were, etc. And I'm basically saying if you fill this out and tell me what you've got for grades and everything, I will confirm. And if you have forgotten something, I'll put it in and that sort of thing. But I want you to tell me what you have, and then I will confirm. I'm not going to go in and fill out the sheet for everybody. That takes too much time. So if you want me to confirm where you are and let you know, then you can fill that sheet out and pass it in. I was caught up as of 7 o'clock last night, and then some more stuff came in. But my inbox is empty, essentially, except, as I said, that came in last evening. So, therefore, that means that if you sent me something, or think you've sent me something, I didn't get it. Okay? Now, there's always a possibility I misfiled, and I do that occasionally. But let's assume I didn't get it. And so if you didn't pass something in, you need to send it to me. There's also a lot of things that I send back to people and say, you got to fix number 5 and number 6 or something like that. Well, it hasn't been graded yet. And until you fix those things, it doesn't get graded. Okay? Now, when I finally come to finals, I give you partial credit, but it really is partial credit compared to what it would be if you fixed it. So you really should do that. My suggestion is that you continue on with this. And, you know, you write week 8, week 9, week 10, and continue on with this so you can keep track on your own. Because at the final, there is a status sheet that is absolutely required. I do not correct the final unless I have it. So it's absolutely required. And that's a status sheet like this. And the reason for that is actually your protection. If you thought you passed something into me and I never got it, I didn't correct it. So if you fill out the status sheet and you say you passed in assignment 5 and I didn't get it, I will get back to you and tell you, send me for assignment 5, I never got it. Okay? Which leads to the point that you should be saving all your assignments, and that's true of any course you take. You should save all your assignments until you get the final grade. You know, you're nuts if you don't. So do. You've got to save everything, because especially now with electronics, you know, you could make a mistake and think you sent it. I could make a mistake and misfile it. Or more importantly, the internet could make a mistake and I never got it. Okay, so essentially that's an optional thing that you can do. Okay, so it's your choice, but if you want me to confirm, fill it out, send it, and I will confirm. Okay, we are going to go back and look at some more JavaScript. So go into JavaScript, and I'm going to look at the while loop. So bring up the while loop. So the while loop says, how many times should I write the line? So I'm going to tell it 4. And then I'm going to click OK, and it wrote the line 4 times. Okay. So here is the code. First of all, I put up a prompt, and I said, data input. How many times should I write the line? And I answered 4. So that 4 got stored in data input. Then I set up a variable called count, and I set that equal to 1. Okay, so those are my 2 variables. Notice that I have a variable, then I actually put in a prompt, then I have a variable. And that's perfectly acceptable. I basically decided I wanted the prompt near the definition, so I put it that way. And that's acceptable. So I said, okay, now, while count is less than or equal to data input. So count is 1, data input is 4, so count is clearly less than or equal to data input. So I then went into the loop, and I wrote, this is number 1, this count is a 1, plus BR. So I wrote out, this is number 1. And then I added 1 to count. Now what happens is that these 2 curly braces tell what's inside the loop. What to do, the code in the loop. So when it hits the end of this and hits the closed curly brace, it knows that it's time to go back and check again. So it goes back and checks, and count is 2, and data input is 2, so count is 4 rather. So count is less than or equal to 4. So it goes in and writes the next line. Then it adds 1 to count. Now it's done the stuff in the loop, so it goes back and checks to see if it should do it again. And count is less than or equal to data input, so it does it again. And every time it takes the current value of count and writes out this is number, so this writes out this is number 3, and then it adds 1 to count. And it goes back, and count is now saying 4, and 4 is less than or equal to 4, so it writes it out and adds 1 to count. And this time when it goes back, count is no longer less than or equal to data input. And since it's no longer less than or equal to data input, I get out. And I write, document write, this is the end. Now, whenever I do a loop, if you think back, we said the first thing you do is you set the control. And in this example, count is my control. So when I set the control, I do that right up there, where I say set the control. The next thing I need to do is I need to check the control to see if I should do the loop again. And the check is right there, the while. And then the third thing that I have to do is I have to change the control. And the change is right there. So that's changing the control. And think about this. If I don't change the control, count stays at 1. And if count stays at 1, what does that mean? When's the loop going to end? Never. It's going to go on forever. So if count doesn't change, count stays 1. Data input is 4. 1 is less than or equal, so it keeps doing it.
And I told you, when I got a big sheet of thing of paper back, because I forgot to change things. And all the pages said exactly the same thing, because I hadn't changed it. I just printed out the same thing over and over and over and over again. So, I set my control by saying count equals one. I check it by comparing it to data input. And I change it by adding one to count, so the count is different every time, and I'll eventually get out. Does that make sense? Now, is it possible to not go into the loop? Yes. What would I have to enter to not go into the loop? What am I going to enter for how many times I want to write the line?
Zero.
If I enter zero for how many times I want to write the line, and then it says this is the end. Because if I enter then zero in here, it comes down and says count is one. Is one less than or equal to zero?
No.
One isn't less than or equal to zero, so I never enter the loop. Because I only go into the loop while one is less than or equal to data input. So, with the question at the top, with the check at the top, I may never enter the loop. So with the check at the top, I may never enter the loop because I'm checking before I go in. And if I don't meet the criteria, I don't go into the loop. So it's possible that I will never go into the loop. Okay? Now the next example is just a little bit different. And that is a do loop. And I'm going to still say four, and it comes out with the same data, except that this time I'm using a do loop. And what's the difference? The big difference is that I'm checking at the bottom, not at the top. Okay, I'm checking at the bottom, not at the top. So, what does that mean? It means I go down and I go into the loop because there's nothing to stop me. I just said do. Well, do doesn't have any condition on it. It just says do it. So I do it. So I go in, I document right, I add one to count, and then I check. Is count less than or equal to data input? And if it is, I go back and do the loop again. But I check after. So what happens if I enter a zero this time?
And you'll have one input?
Yes. If I enter a zero this time, it goes through the loop once because it comes in and it says, okay, take that in. So data input is a zero, count is a one. Do. No condition, just do it. So it does. It writes out the line and count is one, so it writes it out with a one on it. And then it adds one to count, so count goes up from a one to a two, and then it says, while count is less than or equal to data input, two is not less than or equal to zero, so it doesn't go back. It's done. It drops out. Okay, so it drops out of the loop. Okay, so there's the difference. When I have the check at the bottom, and the check is at the bottom, I always do the loop once. So if the check's at the bottom, I always do the loop once because I drop in and I do it. And somebody in the last class asked about an example, and we came up with an example of a password that you always want to do that once. So you get the password, you enter it in, you check and see if it's the correct password. If it's not, you want to go back and do it again. And you want to have some kind of a count on it such that you will only do it a couple of times. So you want to have some kind of a count on it. Okay? And when you've entered the wrong password three times, you don't get another chance or something like that. But you always want to do that once. So you would use the do loop to do that. Or you could use the do loop. Okay, questions. I put the while right next to the curly brace. It could be on the line below. It just has to be after the curly braces. Because the curly braces are controlling what code is inside the loop. Okay, do those two make sense? Yeah.
I think I understand how it works, but I didn't get the password.
Well, if you were putting up and you wanted people to enter a password, you want to have them do it once anyway. Because as soon as you log into your machine, for example, it asks for a password. So the do loop would drop down and ask for your password.
Okay.
And then it would count to one. And if you didn't get the password correctly, it would loop back. Okay, so the loop would be, I want you to get out when they either get the right password or they had three tries. But you always want them to do the password once. But you would want to get out of the password thing when they either got it correctly or they'd used up the number of tries. Okay? And most of you have probably experienced or at least seen someone that has to go back in and have things reset in the help lab because you typed in the wrong password too many times.
I just figured out how to write that program.
Okay. Yeah. No. And you know what you got to do is make sure it's written in a secure environment. And JavaScript is not a secure environment, so I'd never really use JavaScript for this. But it has to be written securely. Okay. So, now we're going to move on and look at the next example. Okay, the next example is if with loop. Now, what I did on this one is I'm putting in a bunch of alerts. This was an alert. And the alerts can be used if you have a logical problem. You're accumulating a total and it's not working. Or you're counting something and it's not working. So you can periodically display status things that help you figure out where you are. So I said count at the beginning of the loop is 1. Enter the number of points you use. So I'm going to enter earned. I entered 10. So now it comes back and say the total points you have is 10. And then it says, okay. Beginning of loop 2. Enter the number of points. I'll say 12. It now comes back and tells me I've got 22 points. So I can see it's adding just fine. Then I say, okay. It tells me it's in 3. Now I'm going to say 14, and it's going to come back and say you have 36 points. And then I say, okay, loop 4, and I'll say 16, and it comes back and tells me I have 52 points. And I say, okay,
and I put in 18, and it comes back and tells me I have 70 points. And that's the end. So basically, if my accumulator wasn't working correctly, this would allow me to go in and see how it was adding and see where it went off and see where the problem was. So what I've done is I have got a bunch of alerts. Now, I would never leave those in when the program is actually running for somebody, but they're great to tell me where I am or what's going on. Okay, so notice with the accumulator, I'm accumulating a total. So I had 0 for total points. And I added 2 to it. So my input points were 2. And I added the input points to it. So now I have total points of 2. Okay, and this is, I'm looking at this line right here, where I say take the input points, add it to the total points, and then take that total and assign it back to total points. So total points keeps growing. So the next time in, I put in a 4, and that put total points up to a 6. Let's say, actually, I think I was using 12 and 14, wasn't I? But anyway, if I had used 2, 4, and 6, and then if the next time I added 6 more, it would be up to 12. Okay, so it just keeps growing, and that's known as an accumulator, when I keep it growing. And the way I write an accumulator is I write total equals total plus amount. Okay, so that means take the total, add amount to it, and put it back into total. Take the total, add amount to it, put it back into total. And that keeps it growing. If I had written answer equals num1 plus num2, this takes it and replaces. Because I didn't mention answer on the right-hand side. So it adds num1, num2, puts it in answer, assigns it to answer, and that ends up replacing. So when I do a regular add, it does a replace. But if I add to something, like add 2 total, and then put it back in total, then total accumulates and becomes an accumulator. Does that make sense? A little positive feedback would be appreciated. Or negative feedback, either way, but just feedback. It makes sense. Somebody said, thank you. I appreciate it. Doesn't make sense is fine, too. I just want to know whether I'm getting it or not. Okay. So now after what I've got is this loop going on, and I'm saying bring in the input points, now add it to the total points, and then put up an alert and show the total points. Down here I said count equals parse integer count. I never do that. I always say count equals count plus 1. But I got to tell you, once I ran into an old browser that didn't work right when I didn't parse it. And so I just kind of throw that out there that once in a while, you have to stop and think about, oh, this isn't working, maybe I'll write it a different way. Usually the rule is, if one of the things is a number, like the plus 1, then most browsers will assume you're doing an add, not a concatenate. But the next browser that comes out may not believe that, so
you know, the safest way is to always do a parse into your past float. But as I said, I've got a lot of programs I'm going to have to fix if any browser ever starts requiring that, because I write count equals count plus one all the time. So now I came down and I said, if total points is less than 10, then put out one message. Else, if it's less than or equal to 50, put out another message. Else, put out the third message. Now, this works fine as long as you put in the correct things. But in fact, if you put in non-numbers, you're going to get, it's going to go to prize A. Because if you put in non-numbers, then the total points is not less than 10. It's not less than or equal to 50. And so it will take this else and we'll put that on it if you put in ABC. Lousy. I should check for errors. I don't when I'm putting programs up here lots of times. But the way to handle it is say else if total points greater than 50, you get group A, else error. So if I got specific and said, if total points greater than 50, it's group A, else anything else will be a error. Then I've covered myself for people entering the wrong thing in. And as I said, lots of times I'm trying to make the program so they fit on the thing and I don't do things like that, or I just didn't think about it. Okay? But if you put in ABC, you're going to get prize A. Because I dropped down to that and it's the final thing. If you put in a number, a letter where you should put in a number in a calculation, it comes back with NAN. And I always forget what that stands for, but it basically means you put in a non-numeric. Somebody that's got a browser open, look up NAN. It's lowercase a.
Not a number.
Not a number. What an obvious thing. Okay? So NAN means not a number, duh. I still won't remember it. Okay. So if I run this program and I put in A, it comes back and says total points after add, NAN. Okay. And then I run it and I say 4, and it's still saying NAN because I asked it to add in A. And I run it again. And I put in B, and it says NAN, and I put in 5, and it will, so I keep getting NAN. And then it dropped down and said that I could get it from group A, because I didn't have an error built in here. Okay? So again, if you expect that your user is not going to follow the rules, then you should never have it drop down to something like you choose a prize from group A. You should have an if statement here that says if it's greater than 50, you should choose a prize from group A. Else, it's an error. Else, no prize, or whatever you want to put up there. Okay? So that if they try to put in A, B, or C, it would be a problem. Okay. Questions? Okay. The next one is final totals. So player got a 5, and player 2 got an 8, and then I type, do you want to play again, Y or N? And I chose Y. I want to play again. And now I'll enter 12 and 12. And do you want to play again? Yes, one more time. And I'll enter 6.
And seven, do you want to play again? No. And I come out, and I have the total for player one and the total for player two. Okay, so I've got the total for player one and the total for player two. So, this is another way to control the program with a loop. We've looked at controlling it with a counter, while I keep track of the counter. We looked at controlling it by comparing to a number that the user input. The first two, we had the user tell me how many times they wanted to do it. On the last one we looked at, I said I wanted to do it five times, so I hard-coded five in and said do it five times. This time, I'm letting the user decide when I want to quit. Do you want to play again? Yes or no? So, if they type a yes, then when I loop back, it says do while continue program equals a Y. And notice I set it to a Y going in, and then I said do while it's a Y. So as long as the user enters a Y, it will do it, yeah.
So I try to use not capital Y, and it didn't work.
That's right.
You'd be able to do it both ways.
You'd have to put an or in there and then say or it's equal to lowercase y. And the other thing is you can look it up. There's a function for uppercase. To upper, I think, and it converts it to upper. And we will get into that, but I haven't got there yet. So if what happens here if I put in an A? It asks me if I want to do it again, and I put in an A. What's going to happen?
It'll treat it as an N.
Yeah. It will treat it as an N. Because the only way I go back in the loop is if they enter an uppercase Y. If they enter any key other than an uppercase Y, it's not going back in the loop. Because I said do while continue program equals uppercase Y. Anything else, and it's out. Okay, so A, B, C, lowercase y, N, it's out. Okay? So, in fact, I'm telling the user to enter Y or N just because that makes more sense to tell them something simple like that as opposed to saying enter Y or any other letter or any other key. Okay? It's easier to tell them enter a Y or an N. Okay, now, there's a couple of things I did in here that are a little different. One is, instead of prompt, I wrote window prompt, and we've seen that before. And that's perfectly acceptable, because the prompt is a prompt that's going to go up in the window. And you can either call it prompt, or you can call it window prompt. The other thing is, I did a parse of it when I took it in. So I did the conversion to a number when I took it in. The next thing is, I said do an add, and notice I have no pass floats or no pass integers over there. This was an experiment, and I kept it because it's working. Apparently, converting the entry to pass integer, and therefore adding with a number here, was enough to convince the browser to do an add as opposed to a concatenate. On the whole, this would have been a lot safer to put in parse integer or parse float. You have to check and see if it's working. Probably it wasn't a good idea to do this experiment because who knows what the next browser that comes out is going to think of it. Right now, I know it works in Firefox. I know it works in Chrome. I'm not sure I even tried it in Explorer. So this is not a safe way of doing it. But it worked, and I just kind of wanted to point out that you can experiment, and sometimes things will work. And my assumption is that because I converted parse integer to a number already, it was like I had put in a number here, and it understood that this was a number, and so therefore I could add it to total. That's my guess as to what its thinking was. But the browser determined that it would do an add instead of a concatenate. Okay. And then I wrote out, after the loop was over, I wrote out the totals. Now, what I want you to do is go in here and add some code to it to tell who won. I want to know who won. Player one or player two? Now, how many decisions is that going to take?
Two. One.
No. Yeah,
two questions.
What about a tie?
Three.
I'd go with three questions. So you're going to basically say, is player one greater than player two? And if it is, player one won. If not, and it doesn't matter the order you ask these in, I could ask the tie question first. Doesn't matter the order that you ask them in. But you've got three questions and three things to ask. But notice I only ask two questions because it has to be one of the three. Either player win-win, one wins, or player two wins, or it's a tie. There's no other option. And so I can say, did player one win? Okay, then player one is the winner. Is player two greater? Player two is the winner. Otherwise, I don't have to ask, are they equal? Because it's obvious that it has to be equal. I also could have asked the second question and said, is player one less than player two? Because I've already established it's not greater, I could ask it as, is it less than? So there's a whole lot of ways I could ask those questions. Feel free to ask them any way you want, or you don't have to use the way I wrote up there. So throw in the if statements to make this work. Yeah. Copy and paste. But I don't want to take the time for a rewrite. Yes, ma'am.
It works in Internet Explorer.
It does? Okay. Good to know. Because Internet Explorer is the problem one.
It looks the same as it does in Firefox.
Okay, good. Thank you. As I said, Explorer is the problem, usually, if there's going to be a problem. Thank you.
try to figure out on your own without peeking. No, it's tiny.
So if I stand here, then everybody has to figure out their own.
So test it and see if it's working. The solution I came up with was, is player one total greater than player two total? If it is, then I'm writing player one is the winner. And notice I put a BR in front, so it would write down on the next line. Else, I asked, is player two greater than player one? And if it is, I did the BR again and said player one is, player two is the winner. Else I said tie. Okay, and the else is fine there because I don't have to ask a question or are they equal because there's no other possibility. The second one I could have written as is player one total less than player two total. And that would have been fine too. Okay, so there's a lot of ways I could write this. I could have both of them less than tests. I could have one greater than and one less than test, as long as I get the point that who won. And there are only three possibilities. And since there are only three possibilities and there's no error, it's either less than or greater than or a tie. I guess the error would kick in is if you typed in letters for them. And in that case, if you thought people were going to do that, you could do an if statement on the tie. But in fact, what most people do, and we will look at that in later programming classes, is they test the input before it even goes anywhere and make sure that people enter a number. Any questions on the solution? Did anybody get it working? Working? Okay, so we're set on that. Anybody got any questions? If you're having a problem, Eric's sitting there waiting to be called on. Okay. All right, the next one we're going to look at is math facts or while loop. Math facts while loop. It's the next one in order. Okay, so now I've come in and I want to do a simple math facts problem. So I've set up count equal to 1. And I've said do it while count is less than or equal to 3. And then I go in and I say answer equals count plus count. So the first time answer is going to be 1 plus 1, which is 2. And then I did a write. And notice my document write. I have count concatenated with a space plus space that are all literal inside quotes.
So I'm concatenating with space plus space. Concatenated with count again. Concatenated with space equals space. Concatenated with answer. Concatenated with a BR. And this BR should have probably been written like this. There's an older version called XHTML that writes it with the slash inside. And sometimes write it that way, just old habits. It doesn't do any harm. It's perfectly acceptable. But I probably, nowadays, if I were writing it, I'd write it without the slash. But a few years back, XHTML was the way to go. And so people were writing it with the slash. Okay, so then I add one to count, and it goes back. Is count less than or equal to 3? Yes, it is. So I add 2 plus 2 and make it 4. Okay? So I started out and count was a 1. And I go in and I say, well, count is less than or equal to 3, and it is. Then I calculate answer. And answer equals count plus count, so it's 2. Now notice up there in my definitions of my variables, I forgot to make variable answer. But it works. And the reason that it works is that essentially if I put answer on the right hand side and tried to use it over here, I would have said, I don't know what you're talking about. But when I say count plus count and assign it to answer, it says, oh, you must need a variable called answer. Okay, I'll make it for you. And so it makes a variable called answer. Okay? Again, that's something I got away with and I left it so that I could point out I got away with it. But the better way would be to define variable answer. Okay? So then I come down, I write out the line, and I add one to count, so count's now 2. I go back. Is count less than or equal to 3? Yes, it is. Answer equals count plus count, so it's 4. And then I document right, 2 plus 2 equals 4. Then I add one to count. I go back. Is count less than or equal to 3? Yes, it is. Answer is count plus count, so answer is 6. I write out 3 plus 3 equals 6, and I add 1 to count. I go back. Is count less than or equal to 3? No. So I drop out, and at that point, when I drop out, I hit the end of the script. And then I go back into HTML and I write that page out of HTML. Okay, I wrote that out of HTML because the script ended. And I can have HTML after the script. Okay. Okay, the next one is pretty complex, so try to stay with me. In a nested while loop. Okay. So here, notice the difference. I want to add 1 plus 1, 1 plus 2, 1 plus 3. 2 plus 1, 2 plus 2, 2 plus 3. 3 plus 1, 3 plus 2, 3 plus 3. And obviously, I could have gone as high as I wanted to, but I only wanted a limited number of things coming out. Okay, so basically, these numbers are different numbers. So the first number over there, yep, okay, is going to be called count. The next one is called count in. And then this one is answer. So I have count,
count in an answer. So they're two different things. Now look at how they're functioning. Count is staying at 1, 1, 1, and then going 2, 2, 2, and then going 3, 3, 3. Count in is going 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. So what I've got is I've got two loops there. And the inner loop is using count in and is controlled by count in. And the outer loop is using count, and that's controlled by count. Okay? So now let's play with this. I set up a variable called count. Okay, so here's count. I set up a variable called count in. So there's count in. Okay. So far I don't have a variable called answer, but in a few minutes it will figure out that I need answer and it will add it for me. So I'm starting out and okay, instead of debugging right now, I really want you to listen to this, okay? Because this is going to get complex. And I don't think you can multiplex your way through it. Okay, so I'm starting out with count equal to 1. And I didn't put a value on count in, because there's another place where I have to make the value of count in, and you'll see why in a minute. So I purposely didn't give it a value. I could have. I could have made it 0, I could have made it 1, doesn't matter. But I just left count in. So I made count of 1, and I left count in with nothing in it. So it starts out, and it says, well, count is less than or equal to 3. And count is starting out as a 1, so clearly it's less than or equal to 3. So I drop down, and it says, now set count in equal to 1. So I do that. And when we go through this loop a second time, you'll see the importance of that. And then I say, okay, is count in less than or equal to 3? And I say, yes. And now I say, add count and count in and put it in the answer. And at that point, it says, oops, you need a variable called answer. I'll make it and I'll put 2 in it. Because 1 plus 1 is 2. Then I did a document write. And this time I wrote count plus, just the plus sign. I didn't put spaces on either side of it this time. I just did the plus sign. So count plus, count in, plus equals, plus answer. And those pluses are all concatenated. So count in plus count plus count in equals answer. And then I have my VR again. So it wrote out 1 plus 1 equals 2. And then it added 1. Count in. So count in is now a 2. Now what happens with a loop that's embedded inside another loop, or a loop period, is that when it hits the end, it loops back. Okay? It doesn't drop out, it loops back to see if it should do it again. And so when it loops back, count in is now a 2. 2 is less than or equal to 3. So it goes into the loop, into the code inside the curly braces, which is the loop code. It adds count and count in to get answer, which is 3, and it writes out 1 plus 2 equals 3. Then it adds 1 to count in, so count in is now a 3. And it circles back. Is count in less than or equal to 3? Yes, it is. So answer is now 1 plus 3 or 4. It document writes out 1 plus 3 equals 4, and you can see them up there. And then it adds 1 to count in. And it goes back and checks. Count in is 4. 4 is not less than or equal to 3. So now it doesn't want to do the loop again. So it drops out of the loop. So what does it do when it drops out of the loop? Adds 1 to count. Because it's now going to start over there with the 2 pluses. So it adds one to count. And then it loops back up here and says, okay, now I'm going to check and see if the count is less than or equal to 3. And it is, it's 2. So the first thing it does is it drops down, and what does it do? That's right. And that's critical. Because if count in state of 4, 4 is not less than or equal to 3, and I never go into that in a loop. So I have to reset it right before I go back in. So when I loop back, I want it to keep growing because I added one to count. When I hit it dropping down, I want to reset count into 1 before I go in there. And so now I've got 2 plus 1. And inside the loop, I add that and I come up with 3. And then I write out 2 plus 1 equals 3. Then I add 1 to count, which is now a 2. I go back, is 2 less than or equal to 3? Yes, it is. Answer is therefore a 4. And I write out 2 plus 2 is 4. Then I add 1 to count in. I go back. Okay, because I've added 1 to count in, I go back. While count in is less than or equal to 3, it is. So I go in, I add 1, I add count and count in, and I get 5. I write out 2 plus 3 equals 5, and I add 1 to count in. Now at this point, I go back and check. Is count in less than or equal to 3? No, it's 4. So I go out, and I add 1 to count, and then I go back up here. Is count less than or equal to 3? Yes, it is. I drop down. I reset this to a 1. I go into the loop because count in is now less than or equal to 3. So I go into the loop and do the add. 3 plus 1 is 4. I write out 3 plus 1 is 4. And I keep going through. After I go through that entire loop, which I don't have room for, when I add 1 to count, eventually I will add 1 to count and it will become a 4, so that when I go back here, 4 is no longer less than or equal to when I'm out of there. Does that make sense? Okay. But that is the logic that I'm going through. So count in is controlling the second number, the inner loop. Count is controlling the outer loop. Okay, count is controlling the outer loop. And so I have to be careful about keeping count the same while I change count in for the 1, 2, 3. And then I add 1 to count and I reset count in. Okay? And at this point, right in here, when I add 1 to count, and then I reset count in to 1. And I reset count in to 1. And then it starts the inner loop all over again. Okay? Okay, I'm going to make this go away, and I would like you to play computer with this, because I think it's the very best way to learn it. So I want you to play computer now. Okay, I've made the answer go away. You do what I did up there and see if you follow it through and if it makes sense when you're following it through.